You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, for people struggling with drug or alcohol addiction, housing instability can be an obstacle to a successful recovery. A state representative has introduced legislation to expand sober housing facilities in Wisconsin. She joins us to talk about that bill. First, on Friday, the State Department granted a permit for the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. That's a reversal of policy from former President Barack Obama. Here's what President Trump had to say shortly after the permit was approved for TransCanada.
It's a great day for American jobs and a historic moment for North America and energy independence. This announcement is part of a new era of American energy policy that will lower costs for American families and very significantly reduce our dependence on foreign oil and create thousands of jobs right here in America. And I also would like to add, I think it's a lot safer to have pipelines than to use other forms of transportation for your product. When completed, the Keystone XL pipeline will span 900 miles, wow, and have the capacity to deliver more than 800,000 barrels of oil per day to the Gulf Coast refinery. That's some big pipeline.
The Keystone XL pipeline has been contentious, to put it mildly. Environmentalists say the pipeline would contribute to climate change. Those behind the pipeline say it would create jobs and help guarantee national energy security. Michael Kraft joins us now to talk about this news and what it means for the future. He's a professor emeritus in political science and public and environmental affairs at UW-Green Bay. Michael, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, happy to be on.
We've talked with you, Michael, at a couple different steps along the way here about Keystone. And this was a long time coming in some ways. How big is this news that the permit has been approved?
Well, I don't think it was a surprise. It's been clear for some time that this was coming. And many will recall that President Obama was somewhat divided on this as well, though he eventually decided against going forward with the Keystone Pipeline. And this all turned on a state. So what Obama did was to indicate that the permit would not be forthcoming after the State Department review. President Trump has indicated that the latest State Department review was fine as far as he was concerned, and of course touted the economic aspects of the pipeline, the jobs created, and as well as the national security implications, that is the making the U.S. less dependent on foreign oil.
Now, Keystone has been a symbol in a lot of ways. It's been this contentious debate. Can you give us Keystone XL 101? What is the pipeline? What would it do? That sometimes, I think, gets lost in the shuffle.
Sure. The pipeline is designed to facilitate the movement of Canadian oil sands, or some call tar sands oil, from the Canadian production facilities to the Gulf Coast, where they would be refined and a good portion would likely be exported. This is, as you indicated, about 800,000 barrels a day. Sounds like a lot, but that actually is about the same capacity as the Enbridge Pipeline Number 6, which also brings Canadian tar sands oil and moves through Wisconsin down to the Illinois border. So I've always thought it interesting that Keystone got a lot of attention, Enbridge almost no attention, and they're roughly doing the same thing. The other part of the Keystone 101 would be the job creation. As is often the case, and some may recall the ANWR dispute, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil drilling. So the president is correct that on the 800,000 barrels a day, he's correct it would somewhat reduce reliance on imported oil, although we don't import all that much anyway now. It has dropped dramatically in recent years. But what he mentioned, tens of thousands of jobs, or I think he said thousands of jobs. I've seen numbers as high as 28,000 jobs that the president has mentioned at one point. The real numbers are closer to about 3,900, but even that is misleading. Those are construction jobs. That's for 1 year of construction, 3,900. Once construction is done, the number is almost insignificantly small, 35. Not 3,500, 35 jobs after construction. So if you put that in perspective, the U.S. economy last month created 230,000 jobs. California last year alone added 25,000 jobs just in the solar sector. Now, this is important, of course, in the oil industry, and there would be additional jobs in the state of Texas. So once the construction is done, you still have the operation of refineries and the offshoots of the oil refining process and exporting of the oil. Mm-hmm. But still, that's a relatively small number of jobs going mainly to construction initially and then to the oil service industry after that.
That's the job side of the equation. A lot of people worried about this pipeline worry about the environmental impact,
right,
both for climate change, facilitating, I guess, the use of oil, and for possible
yeah.
leaks.
So the larger context is Keystone was opposed by environmental groups because Canadian tar sands oil is a particularly dirty form of oil. It would contribute more than other oil to greenhouse gas emissions, both during the production and eventual use of the oil. And for environmental groups, and frankly for both sides, this has been, as you mentioned, a very symbolic battle, much like ANWR was for many years. In the larger scheme of things, the president is probably correct. This having a pipeline may be better than shipping oil by rail cars, which have had quite a few accidents. But the fact that the State Department has approved does not mean this is the end of the process. The Nebraska Public Service Commission has to approve. Local landowners may object. More protests are likely. There may well be lawsuits over the State Department decision because they did not do an entirely new environmental impact statement. They sort of quickly came to the conclusion that this was okay. So there could well be some contention going forward. And the larger battle, as you mentioned, is both on the jobs front and on the environmental impacts, particularly climate change. And, of course, this is an administration that has greatly downplayed the seriousness of climate change. I believe tomorrow the president is to announce that he will turn back the clean power plan for coal-fired power plants as part of negating Obama's climate change policy. So it's not surprising that he wouldn't care too much about the climate change impacts of the Keystone Pipeline.
Talking to Michael Kraft from UW-Green Bay about the Keystone XL Pipeline, the Trump administration giving it the thumbs up, though it's not necessarily a done deal, as he was saying. Michael, a lot has changed in the energy picture in the United States since this whole thing started. Can you talk about the impact of a fracking
sure.
of natural gas and oil in particular?
Sure. One of the reasons for the decreased interest in coal has been relating to the clean power plan has been the dramatic increase in natural gas. And natural gas greatly on a greatly accelerated schedule is replacing coal-fired power plants. But what we've also seen that affects the use of Keystone oil or, frankly, any other oil production is that we are using less oil than we used to because cars are becoming more fuel efficient. I think everybody has probably noticed that. So in the larger scheme of things, we are, and we might add that prices have dropped, as everybody has noted. Gasoline is roughly $2, $2.25 a gallon now. Many will remember when it was over $4. So as a consequence of the fuel economy of cars and the increased production domestically of oil and gas, Keystone in many ways is not nearly as important for the U.S. oil economy as it used to be. And the other development, I mentioned the figures on solar energy, we have greatly increased, for larger energy purposes, wind power and solar power. Those are used for electricity production, not, of course, running of cars and trucks. But the energy economy is undergoing a major transformation right now, and that's important as far as the production of greenhouse gases for climate change, but also suggests that the energy economy is changing in ways that we could not have anticipated just a few years ago. Oil production is up enough that we may not need the Keystone oil, whereas when it was first proposed, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago, we thought we would be really dependent on Keystone oil, and today it looks like it's a small player in the larger scheme of things.
Right, a lot of the talk over the last decade or two really is this idea of energy independence. Keystone would have been part of that, but even without it, how energy independent are we now?
We're pretty energy independent. The last time I checked the numbers, within another year, we will probably be at about 20% reliant on imported oil. Some may recall we used to be closer to 60 to 70%. But the U.S. increase in energy production and decreased use of oil because of improved fuel economy has greatly diminished the amount of oil entering the country. We're now exporting oil. Indeed, the suspicion is much of the Keystone oil will be exported, not used here. So we're not quite at energy independence, but we are a lot closer than we used to be, an accomplishment for which Barack Obama never got a whole lot of credit. But he greatly reduced U.S. dependence on foreign oil, therefore increased our energy security. And Keystone is now entering a different era than it was the case back when the pipeline was initially proposed.
Yeah, with all the focus on the Keystone XL pipeline from both sides, people for and against it, do you think policymakers have been missing the boat on maybe more fundamental energy issues?
Well, I think so. And, of course, this is greatly related to climate change. I think, as most people know, energy use and climate change are very much related. Climate change, unless you buy the argument of the climate deniers, climate science deniers, it comes about because of our reliance on fossil fuels, oil, coal, and natural gas. When these are carbon-based fuels, so when you burn them, oxygen in the atmosphere combines, we get carbon dioxide, a major greenhouse gas, and the concern about climate change has increased enough that we really need to cut back on the use of fossil fuels. That's been part of the environmentalist argument against Keystone, which is it introduces yet another source of oil when we ought to be going the other way, not just finding more and more oil, no matter what the location, to use in our cars, but rather trying to decrease the amount of oil we use. Of course, President Trump also just announced he wants to pull back from the fuel economy standards that Barack Obama developed with the cooperation of the auto industry back in 2012.
As we wrap up, Michael, what are you watching for next in the story of Keystone XL and American energy?
Well, Keystone has become largely a symbolic issue. You know, I think both sides view it as important to their larger arguments. On the one side, about decreasing the reliance on oil and climate change, and the importance of climate change, and on the other side, the importance of the economy and job creation. I hope we get beyond these sort of small-scale, relatively small-scale debates and really focus on the big picture, which is we've got to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels going forward. And not only in the transportation sector with fuel economy standards, but beyond that in the way we heat and cool our homes and all the other purposes, particularly the production of electricity. Reduced fossil fuel use is important going forward if we take climate change seriously. And maybe Keystone will propel us to that level of the argument.
Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
That's Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus in Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay. He joined us to talk about the news over the weekend that the State Department granted a permit for the construction of the long-disputed Keystone XL pipeline.